keep it 100 every day.
Shot. Need the facts and stats. Who do you call? Bringing the fire, bringing the heat, we bring it to y'all. Calling for Frank, you calling for D, you calling for ball. Call for them all. Look how they ball, documented, proving the score. No matter the topic of conversation, call up. You gotta be patient. The love is embracing. Don't deal with the hate. Don't know what you facing. Every Monday, 11 to 1, we'll be there if you patiently waiting.
Bring the heat, bring the heat, bring the fire,
bring the fire.
Keep it 100 every day.
Sports Web CEO in the building. And good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to y'all. What's going on, good people? So, you know, this is the first Monday of the month, right? And you know what we do. I told y'all already that I was going to bring something back that we had started a little while back that we had just kind of got away from. But no sweat, no worries. We are going to get back into it. And what that is we're going to have Fan Appreciation Monday, all right? And what it means is on this first Monday of every month moving forward, I'm going to leave my comments, my messages, and everything open. I'm going to make the post. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody to give me comments, topics, questions that you want answered on air. And that will generally or genuinely compromise or comprise our show for the first Monday. And also, as we know, it is February, so it is Black History Month, and it's a leap year, so I think we got 29 days in this year, so we get an extra day this year, which is good for us. But for me, you know, it's Black History 24/7, you know, 24/7, 12 days, 365. All right, so it's always Black History for me. And it's always good. It's really great to know your history and learn your history. And that's in life in general, and as far as in your careers or whatever you intend to be doing with yourself. If you have a clothing line, you know, you need to do research on how other people like you got started. It will help out in the long run, no question, no doubt. So, you know what we're going to do. And by the way, I did get a couple topics from some people. But not a lot of response. So, you know, we're going to kick it off anyway. So, of course, I did have a backup plan. I always have a plan B. So I have some things that I will bring to the table that we can talk about to comprise the show after we deal with what we had. And also, while we're live as well, you know where. Facebook Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page, and on Instagram at Sports Rap CEO. So if you come on and you have question, my guy Jay Blake always tuned in. So what we're going to do is we're going to make it open for today as well while we are live. All right. So what's going to happen is, like I said, I posted it. You can mention it if any time while you're tuned in, you come up with a question or you have a comment or a topic that you want me to discuss or get my thoughts on. Chime in and let me know. What's up, Champ? Is that my guy, Mighty? On FB, if that's you, good morning, good morning. So, of course, I got to stick to my script, as always. I got to give you some news and some updates. And I will give you Sunday's scores from the sports action that occurred yesterday, most of the sports action. And then we'll get right into one of our topics. I'll get to the topics in a second. So, here we go with our news and our updates. The LA Kings have fired their coach Todd McClellan after a bad January. So, in the realm of sports, and this is all the way across the board, across the four major, because this guy's got fired in January. Basically, it's not been a great year for coaches, man. Especially in the NFL. A couple things went on in the NBA. Some things went on in baseball as well. But none bigger, of course, none bigger than the NFL this past season. But it's just been a rough year for coaches, man. Coaches getting fired, you know, get demoted and all that. Yeah, we going to talk about that. Mighty Chanzine says, are the Sixers doomed? I honestly don't know. The only thing that could possibly be saving them right now is the trade deadline that's approaching this Thursday. So with the news of Joel Embiid being out for an extended period of time, and they're speculating 4 to 6, and you know what I always like to say, when they tell you 4 to 6, you can add a couple weeks onto that. So I'm going to give it to you straight with no chaser and tell you where I believe it is. I believe it's going to be more closer to 6 to 8 weeks. So for all intent purposes, just playing devil's advocate here a little bit. You say 6 to 8 weeks. So you figure that's 2 months. All right, here it is February. So you figure March, April. All right, so you still got to give it another half a month. Even if it's that 8 weeks, still got to give it another 2 weeks. All right, so let's say the middle of May. Stretch, run, maybe need to do some repositioning in the playoff standing by that time. If he's healthy and we're at that point where we still feel like, or the team or the organization feels like, they can still make an impact in the playoffs if they bring him back, I would say bring him back. But again, it has to be in the right situation and under the right circumstances. You can't bring him back too early. Okay. Definitely cannot bring him back too early. Can't get excited if surgery goes well and rehab and everything starts to go well. We can't get excited and start salivating and want to bring him back too early. That's number one. Number two, even with that being said, he has to be healthy, because we've seen all season long so far what he can do, what he's capable of. That is the Joel Embiid that we're going to need in the playoffs. If we can't have that, then it's no need. And this is coming from me, your guy, diehard Sixers fan. Love Joel Embiid. But again, what we've seen so far this season is what we need in the playoffs. And if we can't have that after this injury, then, you know, it unfortunately, I would say we have to go through the season, let it be what it is, you know, let the balls roll where they roll, and take it as that and start over from scratch in the summertime and in the beginning of the next season, if it comes to that. So again, like I said, the 2 points I have is you can't rush him back, and he has to be healthy, because the Joel Embiid that we've seen is the Joel Embiid that we need moving forward into the playoffs. And again, if we can't have that, in my opinion, you don't play him. If everything goes well and he can play, and then they'll do what they typically do in the league. They'll bring him back. They'll put him on a minute restriction early till he gets his win back, till he gets back in, or as close as he can to basketball shape. Because if he comes back, he's going to go into the playoffs still playing himself back into shape. I'm just giving it to you raw with no chaser right now, so you know what to expect if and when we get to this bridge, so we can cross it all together. So that's where I'm at with that. Quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this Joel Embiid and the Sixers and a little bit later on too. Quarterback Teddy Bridgewater has retired from the NFL, and he has been named the coach of his alma mater high school. Sources say that the Jacksonville Jaguars are asking FanDuel for a stolen $20 million. Now, I put this in my notes and in my news and my updates, you know, to go through it and just to talk about it a little bit. But I'm just wondering how it got to the point where FanDuel allegedly stole money from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know how that transpired. I don't know how that played out, people. But apparently it did. And apparently the Jacksonville Jaguars are looking to recoup some funds from that, and to the extent of $20 million. A.J. Brown, to stop all the rumors, a source from the Philadelphia Eagles organization says he's not being traded, and the Eagles have not had any discussions concerning an A.J. Brown trade. Eagles made a couple hires over the weekend as well. Carl Scott as the deep defensive back coach. Doug Nussemer. How far overseas you think we can get without him, champ? Yeah. Getting there, it's a great question, Mighty, too. I don't know what's going on with the Bucks. Since they hired Doc Rivers, they lost 3 out of 4 games. They're apparently not the same team that they were last year. Boston is playing very well right now. The issue with this injury and where we are right now, as far as like being in the number 3 spot, it's going to play a part in where we end up. And in actuality, without Joel Embiid, I would prefer us to be somewhere in that middle, 4, 5, 6. Not so much the 6. I think the 4, 5 we can handle. The 5, we get the 5, we have to go on the road. If we get the drop down to the 4, we would start the playoffs at home. So I think we can stay in that. I don't think we would fall that far and like for whatever godforsaken reason fall down into the play-in tournament or anything like that. I don't think that is going to happen. I think our coaching is pretty good, and I think the role players that we got in this trade of James Harden, once everybody gets healthy, I think that the coaching staff can do some things with this. Again, I've been talking for the past several weeks about trade rumors and this and that and the third. Now, more evident than ever, if nothing happens as far as a trade, they need to be looking at the waiver wire and the buyout market and looking at a backup, looking at a center. Because you're going to need something behind or to mix in with Mo Bamba and Paul Reed. Maybe Kenny Lofton Jr. can get some burn round as a big, but still he's undersized at that 5. So you're going to need a 5 with some size. And at this point, with the other pieces that you have around you, and including Maxi, you can arguably kind of stem the tide with a defensive rebounding center, someone that you don't really have to run any offense for, someone that you're not going to be expecting to give you 15, 20 points a night. And mind you, I said stem the tide. I didn't say you could get by. I said you could stem the tide, and that would help. Okay? So, you know, again, I don't think they'll fall too far, much lower than 6, if anything. But, you know, stranger things have happened before. And like I said, now it's really imperative that they look into getting another center. Like I said, it can be a defensive center, somebody that you're going to need to rebound, play some tough defense, and be a focal point on that defense, like an anchor on that defense like Joe did, and give you a few points here and there. You know, you're not going to be looking for this guy to give you points. You're going to be looking for this guy to anchor that defense, guard the other 5s in the league, and get you some rebounds. Doc Rivers, essentially, because has been named the All-Star coach of the Eastern Conference after he got his first win, whatever that means, you know, whatever. Rick Pitino says that the NCAA enforcement staff is a joke. Michael Jordan's final sneakers sell for a record price at an auction. It was a 6-pack collection, and that 6-pack of the shoes that he wore in every championship that he won, all 6, sold for $8,032,800. A lot of bread for some sneakers, folks. And although I am somewhat of a sneakerhead, I don't know if I could do $8 million. But then again, with the sneakers that they are, with all that being said, the sneakers that they are, yeah, if you got it, you know, they say it ain't, you know what, if you got it. So if you got it, to have that piece of that kind of history in your possession, and if it ever got to that point, like, imagine what the resale could be. I say could be. Imagine what the resale could be on that. I mean, you put out $8 million on that. You hold on to it for a little while. And like I said, it just has, say something by chance happens and you decide that you want to sell or sell part of it. Imagine what the resale would be. Imagine what the offers would be if you decided to even say, let me just put one pair up for sale just out of curiosity to see what I could get for these. It could probably get really crazy really quickly. So, moving on, folks. We got some scores from yesterday just to finish up our recap for Sunday and the weekend. Sunday in the NBA. The Magic and the Pistons. The Magic take that game 111-99. The Suns and a 43-point explosion from Bradley Beal get by the Wizards 140-112. The Grizzlies fall to the Celtics 131-91. The Clippers get by the Heat 103-95. Pacers defeat the Hornets 115-99. The Rockets fall to the Timberwolves 111-90. The Thunder get by the Raptors 135-127. The Bucks fall to the Jazz 123-108. And the Blazers fall to the Nuggets 112-103. In men's college basketball, top 25. Number 2, Purdue faced off against number 6, Wisconsin. Number 2 holds on 75-69. Nebraska goes into Illinois to play the 14th ranked Fighting Illini. Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt, my guy. Ivan Robinson and Dwayne, definitely two great guys. One a little bit greater than the other, as humble as he may be, but I'll take it. To be in that company with somebody your caliber, legend, take it all day. Appreciate you, my brother. Appreciate you. Nebraska falls in overtime, 87-84. Stanford in Arizona to face off number 11 Arizona takes that 82-71. In women's top 25, college basketball, women's top 25. Number 10, Indiana faced off against number 8, Ohio State. Ohio State takes that 74-69. Number 21, Syracuse gets by Boston College 75-63. Virginia Tech, ranked number 17, faced off against my girls, number 24, UNC. In overtime, Virginia Tech takes that 70-61. Ole Miss goes up against the juggernaut, South Carolina, number 1 ranked team. The number 1 ranked team, shout out to Dawn Staley, Philly Zone. They continue their winning streak. They take that 85-56. Number 9, LSU at home beats Florida 106-66. Number 2, Kansas State goes into Texas, face off against number 12. Number 12 in the upset, 64-54. Pitt faces off against number 14, Notre Dame. Notre Dame holds on 73-53. Number 22, Creighton versus Butler. Number 22, Creighton takes that 75-65. Number 13, Baylor, 83. Houston, 60. St. John's up against number 11, UConn. Number 11, UConn at home takes that 78-63. Number 15, USC versus Cal. In a 10-point game, number 15 holds on 79-69. Number 6, Colorado gets by Washington 80-57. Number 20, Utah gets by Washington State 73-61. Number 7, UCLA faced off against number 4, Stanford. Number 4 holds on 80-60. And in the nightcap in women's basketball, Oregon State at Oregon. Number 18, Oregon State at Oregon. Number 18 holds on 64-60. And of course, folks, I mentioned to you earlier in my intro, in my opening, that it is Black History Month. And what we do here on Heat 100 Radio Sports Web Podcast is we give you some interesting or some great moments in black sports history for Black History Month. So you'll get a couple each Monday for the month of Black History Month. So for today, February the 5th, 2024, we have Coco Gauff becomes a breakout star at Wimbledon. I forget the year on this, but this is a couple years ago, but we have to give it to her. She's continued that, as we have seen most recently this year in the tennis world. In 1947, the first African-American college basketball All-American was Don Barksdale. And in 1961, the first African-American Heisman Trophy winner, Ernie Davis. There's a movie out about Ernie Davis. You can check that out. Check him out. Give him some respect. And those are your history moments, your black history moments for this day. Not exactly on this day, but for today, February 5th, 2024, here, right here on the Sports Web Podcast. So, folks, again, it is Monday. It is Fan Appreciation Day, like I mentioned. Pat, my guy, Mighty Robinson, shout out to him on Facebook. Chime in with some questions, and you can do the same. Just if I don't recognize you by your comments, you have to tell me who you are, and give me your comment or give me your question. Tell me what I think about something that you saw. I may have saw it. I may not have saw it. Let's see. Tearing meniscus may be worse than a full ACL tear because you can fully recover with ACL. Let me see. I don't know who that was on that comment. And I lost that comment. Again, here we go with the Joel Embiid stuff. Okay, that was Tom. So he's saying that the meniscus tear is a little worse than the ACL tear. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not the physician. I'm not a doctor. I wish my guy had chimed in and typed in a comment. Howie, Dr. Howie, you know him, good friend of mine, good doctor that could help me out, usually helps me out with these kind of issues and topics, but, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll throw it at him later today and see what he gives me back, and then I'll bring back, report back what he gives me to you guys, at a later date. But it, you know, it's one of those things. And I'm sure people are going to go through the gamut. He's always injured. And it's true. He gets hurt all the time. He gets hurt a lot. He misses games a lot. It's true. It's something that we know. My guy, James Clark, the best basketball trainer in the universe, my guy, how's it been? Been a while since I've talked to you, but I see you working, putting in work. I see you doing things. Again, folks, if you got some basketball that you want to get trained, got some kids you want to get trained, you a pro, you a prospective athlete, you want to get changed, at ClarkJ22 _, that's my guy. Check him out. He'll get you right. Okay? It's my boy. He will get you right. No doubt. No doubt. Jay, blessings to you as well. No doubt, my brother. Good to hear from you. So, again, getting back to this with the Joel Embiid thing. Again, for me, I guess you could kind of say I'm like melancholy with it, if you will. For the reasons that I just mentioned. I live here. I'm a Philadelphia 76ers fan. I've been going through it since he's been here. I mean, hell, he started his career injured. So it's something for me right now that I kind of take in stride. My guy, Julio Cintron. What it do, good brother? What it do? Looking forward to catching up with you a little bit later on as well. And so for me, like I'm saying, it's kind of like, okay, we in this position again. What do we do this time to get it right? And in a way, that's pretty much all you can do as a fan. We don't have any real stake in when he has a surgery, if he has a surgery. That's his decision. And we don't have any bearing on if and when he comes back, how the minute restrictions will be, how there will be alleged load management, if you will, due to the injury. We have no stake on that, no interest in that. It's just being a fan. So for me, doing what I do, sitting here talking to you every Monday, and also being a fan, I'm to the point where, like I said, I take it in stride. I almost look at it like, when is it going to happen? And then I always kind of smooth myself over and I say, well, it's early in the season. Would I rather have it now or would I rather have it later on when we're going into the playoffs? So unfortunately, this time around, it may run into, maybe even jeopardize a little bit of playoff possibilities. And when I say jeopardize, I don't mean knock us out of the playoffs, dropping us into the play-in tournament. I mean just some adjusting where we may go into a series and we might be the odds-on favorite still without him, where we may struggle until he comes back, is what I'm saying, okay? Just want to make sure we're clear on that. But I'm to the point now, like I said, I told you it's 6 to 8 weeks. So arguably, again, like I said, if everything goes well, surgery, recovery, rehab, we looking at 10 weeks. And again, like I said, I broke it down, 10 weeks. It's February. So you got March, April. Those are the 8 weeks. 2 more weeks, halfway through May. All right, which is towards the end of the season. I'm not sure how many games that would be around that middle of May when we come, if he were to come back. But again, like I mentioned, if all things go well and he can come back, and around that time is where I would expect it, he's going to have to play himself into shape during games, not during practice, during games. So it's going to be like whatever games are left in the regular season. And again, on that initial comeback, there are going to be minute restrictions. So that means, folks, moving forward into the playoffs, if he comes back, that first playoff round, his first couple games, he still could be playing himself back into shape. And that's what I meant when I said could jeopardize a few things a little bit. Like I said, it wasn't going to be a big jeopardizing, but that's what I meant. With everything, if everything were to go well and we line it up like we supposed, like we think it'll line up, yada, 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 he's going to be playing himself still back into shape a little bit going into the playoffs. That's all I'm saying. Now, his mindset, his determination, I feel like with everything he's done so far this year, I feel like he would come in with the mindset as, I got to get back to that as quickly as possible, but not in a way to hurt the rhythm of the team, because he's going to have to fit his way back in. Because this team, and listen, we're talking the Joel Embiid injury, right? Because that's the big injury. That's the big name, the huge blow potentially to the Philadelphia 76ers right now. But remember, we've got key pieces, other key pieces that are still injured. Robert Covington, and people probably going to cringe when I'm saying Robert Covington, like, oh, he's one of the top 3-point shooters in the league. Very good on defense. He's been hurt pretty much the whole time he's been here since the trade coming back. Nick Batum proved his worth in the trade, has been bounced around with little nagging injuries. Kelly Oubre had a couple of nagging, he's back now. DeAnthony Melton has been out for a while. So we've got injuries all the way across the board. And again, I'm going to reiterate and say it one more time again. Now's the time that we need another center. Because right now at this point where we are and looking at where we want to go, we can't get there with Paul Reed, with just Paul Reed and Mo Bamba. We can't do it with just those two. I'm not gonna say we can't do it though. We can't do it with just those two. All right. Excuse me for a second. Ebree.my9275. Thanks for tuning in on IG. I appreciate the support. As always. So we definitely need a center. Like I said, we can't do it with just Mo Bamba and Paul Reed. We can't. My guy, I'm doing pretty good. Mighty joined in on IG, switched over on me. Appreciate you for tuning in. Definitely appreciate you for tuning in. Excuse me, y'all. I'm just writing down stuff like I always do. Y'all know what I do in the mornings. So, again, getting back to that, like I said, we need that center. We definitely need that piece moving forward. And like I said, we can't do it with just Paul Reed and Mo Bamba alone. It's not going to work that way. It's definitely not going to work that way. And the other note, okay, nice to meet you too as well. So again, with that, we talk about some other things. As we know, like I mentioned earlier, the trade deadline is approaching. It's actually this Thursday. And there was a lot of talk, a lot of speculation that the Sixers could arguably stand pat at this trade deadline. Now, you can arguably look at things a little differently. And it's due to this injury. And again, like I said, we've got injuries. We've got other injuries that we could say as fans and the success that the team has had with these players. There are some key injuries other than Joel Embiid. But Joel Embiid, of course, is the biggest one. That's the biggest injury. That's the biggest concern to the fan base, to the organization, to his teammates, to that locker room. All right. On another note, like I said, so we'll see what happens. But like I said, there was a lot of speculation that the Sixers would probably stand pat during the trade deadline. So now we'll see what happens. Again, they could still stand pat and wait for some players to get traded in some deals and not want to be on teams and look for buyouts and look to get waived from teams and that kind of stuff. Speaking of that, brings me to another point before I get into my fan stuff that people added in. I posted it. I talked about it with some people before I actually posted it. When I saw the trade happen, the Kyle Lowry trade from Miami to Charlotte for Terry Rozier. That particular trade told me that the Hornets are looking to get rid of some contracts, some money to do some things, and probably looking to start a rebuild. You took on that Lowry contract because probably, and going in, you arguably knew that or speculated that a buyout would be brought into the fray. I felt like that because going from Miami in playoff contention to Charlotte not in playoff contention, and although Kyle has some tires, some tread on those tires, has some miles on those tires, going there is not a great situation for him at this stage in his career. So I immediately assumed, my first question was when I saw that trade was, how long is he going to stay? How soon before we hear about a buyout? Then there popped up some other stuff, and I popped it up too. And I asked some people, I said, would you kick the tires and bring Kyle Lowry in for the playoff run? Because remember, I said way back when we started talking about the Sixers and the makeup of the roster and started talking about the mock trades and everything that had came up all and around the media, I said two things that I felt like we needed. A backup point guard that could score, and a backup five that can give you some solid defensive minutes and some rebounding and things of that nature. All right, so we now know it's evident that we definitely need that center. Okay, I keep saying that, but sound like a broken record, but I'm just going to reiterate it to you so you get it into your brain and understand. Now, what I mentioned and I said the guard, I stuck to that. I said a backup point guard that can score. And people will probably say, well, Kyle's kind of old. He ain't going to really score for you like that. Here is the thing. All right. And people, I need some people to understand or try to understand basketball at that level. All right. at that level, and then some people say, well, what would that do to Pat Bev's minutes? So will it cut Pat Bev, and what do you do here, and this and that? All right, right now, looking at the Sixers and the situation we're in, and this is including the Joel Embiid injury, we are going to need a lot more scoring out of Maxey. Tobias Harris has to get healthy as well. But we're definitely going to need a lot more scoring out of Tyrese Maxey. So in essence, it's going to take away from some of his point guard role. Hence, that's where Pat Beverly will fill in. All right? Where Kyle Lowry can come into the situation and can and be blended into the fray. He's played under Nick Nurse. Okay? He's played under Nick Nurse. Won a championship with Nick Nurse as his coach. Veteran leadership. Playoff leadership. Playoff battle tested. He can score. Mm-hmm. And again, we won't need him to come in and give us 15, 20 points a night. He's very good on defense. He takes charges very well. He's gritty. And he can run an offense. Hence, quite a few of the things I mentioned to you when I said what we needed in out of a backup guard. And then, he's already on a buyout, so you sign him for the remainder of the season. If it works, it works. If he wants to play, he stays, and he stays. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It doesn't really hurt you. So, in a small way, it could be viewed as a win-win for the Sixers because you feel a need and it could help you out in the playoffs until you get Joel Embiid back when you can use Tyrese Maxey to do what he does at scoring the ball. And then you have another guard behind Pat Beverly who you can play on the second unit with Pat Beverly. You can play Kyle with Tyrese Maxey. So, it is what it is. And I think you could give it a shot. It could possibly work. I think if I was the Sixers, I would think about it. I'm not necessarily saying that I would do it all the way. I mean, again, let me rephrase that. If I'm the GM and I'm looking at this situation, me personally and what I have now and the situation I'm in right now, I would probably, more than likely, I would do it. Because like I said, in a small way, it could be a win. It could turn out to be a win-win for me as the GM and as my organization moving forward. It could be a win-win for me. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. There are some people who said no, they wouldn't do it. But again, a lot of people, they didn't really give me a lot of reasons. A couple people gave me some reasons why they wouldn't do it. And they were very valid reasons. So like I said, it's a topic where you have a leg to stand on either side. I'm just on the one side where I would do it. I'm not on the other side. I'm on the side where I would do it. Going into our fan stuff, I have a fan who is going to remain anonymous. And what this particular fan said was that there are reports or rumors that there was some type of not so great relationship between Daryl Morey and Kyle Lowry, which could put a halt in the process, could also possibly even dead that thought process. Thank you, brother. I'm on the side that makes sense. I appreciate that. Again, we've known in history that Daryl Morey has had some strained relationships with players for some of the things that he might have said that he would do and turn around and did not do them. So, you know, this anonymous person says that this could be a reason why this move could not happen. Again, although I feel like it could be, like I said, it could turn out to be a win-win. And like I said, it can't kill you. I don't think it's going to hurt you at all. But, you know, like I said, I have some people that gave me a good legit reason, and this is a solid reason, that the issue with particularly Kyle Lowry and other players around the league and Daryl Morey could be the stopper in this particular deal, this particular situation not coming to fruition. Yeah, Mighty, he does. He is starting to come out to be like a boxing promoter. I think his business, as far as general business, is good. I think his personal relationships and business are the bad thing. And I don't know how you could fix that. Because it just seems weird. Because it seems like he does things that as far as business-wise and being a GM, he does things that seem to turn out good or turn out okay. Like, nothing ever really turns out really, really bad in moves that he makes. But then there's always that one little piece where it's like it's this little extra, little personal business issue that comes into the fray that changes things. And I don't know. I don't understand it. But, I mean, it's evident because we see it. We saw it with the James Harden situation. And we know now from what this anonymous listener has told us that it's happened to others, happened with other players. So it's kind of weird. Yeah, Mighty, like you said, it's crazy. It's kind of weird. But I'll probably never understand it yet. He might be the Don King of basketball. You're absolutely right about that. I'll probably never understand it. You know, maybe some more information to come out where I can better understand it. And again, like I always do, I'm faithful to my guys, to my folks, my listeners, my true listeners, and everybody else. And once I find out, if I get a different interpretation and I get a clearer understanding, I will share it with you all, as I always do. Y'all know that. Secondly, my guy, my homie brother, Chris Adams, one of the first ones to chime in with a question or a topic. I don't know if he's tuned in right now, but if he is, shout outs to you, Chris. Good morning. Like I said, my homie brother. His question was, what should the NBA do about load management? So we all been talking about, we've been talking about load management for years now in the NBA. So here's what I found. The first thing I found, I'm going to give you, this is what the NBA is saying before we delve into some dialogue. You don't want to know about that, right? Yeah. So here it is. As of October, the rule has been put in place in the NBA where players must play at least 65 games to be eligible for postseason individual awards. And those comprised are the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, yada, 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 and all NBA honors. All right? So that's what they've done as far as with the load management, which is a start because the way that's written and what it reads, and immediately people are going to jump to the, okay, so players can't get individual awards, but whatever. And absolutely right in their own right for saying that and thinking that and speculating that, because that's the way, kind of the way it reads. But I think what needs to be done, I mean, I think there's still more that needs to be done. I feel like if these players have, and we know some of these players get injuries, but I understand it, and we're focusing on that word load management. And when we talk about the load management, we know, and we know initially where it came from. We know how it got to be big with star players resting, not really having serious injuries, who could arguably play, but end up or show up on teams' injury reports as injured and cannot play. It's a lot mixed into that in a lot of ways. As far as on the fan base side, it takes me back to, God rest his soul, rest well, to what Kobe Bryant said in a situation where his wife. He was banged up, you know, going to play a game. He was kind of hurting, whatever. You know, and he said his wife asked him, why you're hurting? Like, why are you going to play? And his response, and I think this was very genuine and very profound, if you will. His response, and I'm paraphrasing his response, was, what about this kid or these fans whose parents or these people who worked and spent their hard-earned money to see me play? And then they spend this money and then they come to the game and then I don't play. How would you think they would feel? All right. And that was his reasoning for going in and playing. So, like I said, it goes into this load management thing in a lot of different ways. On the business side, the NBA team side, I don't know how to put it, but I mean, it can affect the teams as far as getting fined for putting out false injury reports and things of that nature. It could hurt the team where some of these players, if we're just talking just the basic load management, could have games where these players don't play that could knock them down in playoff contention, could possibly arguably knock them out of playoff contention. So it can jeopardize you on both sides. Now, what do I think the NBA should do? I think they need to take away the individual award piece in it. All right, initially, take that piece out. And I think they should give the guys 10 more games. It's 82 games in a season. And I mean, I'm arguing 10 more games because the way the NBA schedule is, and especially like for the bigs, you've got like back-to-backs, and then you'll be off for a night or two, and then you could possibly have a back-to-back again, or then you're playing right again, and then the travel time back and forth and here and that. This is why I say maybe another 5-10 more games. Again, like I said, it's 82 games in the season. Then you got to get ready for the playoffs if your team makes the playoffs. So in a general 82-game season, there are going to be players who will have nagging injuries that will arguably need to sit out a game or two or three here and there. In this particular case, and let's use Joel Embiid's situation, there is a definite need. There is a definite injury. And there is a definite need for a surgery to repair this injury. So now he is definitely has no chance of winning the MVP award. Even if he does come back in the regular season, he still has no chance of winning the MVP award. Where I think that jeopardizes the league, and I'm just saying it because of the season that he's having, I feel like that's jeopardizing because if you look at the season that he's having, he was arguably the clear-cut MVP again this year. So now, everything that he has done so far has been for nothing. Well, not so much for nothing, but as far as the way this is written, for nothing. Although he has stated that he's focused on winning the championship, now he's got the MVP under his belt, fine and well. But the NBA has to tweak it in a way where even if he's out, if nobody steps up and dominates the way he has been dominating, then what? I mean, it also brings me back to the Eagles Super Bowl season. Okay, we talk about Carson Wentz, and we know how that relationship with him and the fan base went way left. I'm talking about that right now. What I'm talking about is that in season. That season, before he got hurt in that Rams game, he was the odds-on favorite for the MVP. Okay? He ended that season on the injured list. Tom Brady, the GOAT, as everyone calls him, played the entire season, played more games than Carson Wentz. Still did not have the statistical year that Carson Wentz had that year. If you don't believe me, look it up. All right. I do my homework and y'all know that. So, again, he was the odds-on favorite to win the MVP that year. And, again, even after him being injured at the end of that season, his stats were still better than the GOAT Tom Brady's for that particular season. And I'm just saying for that particular season. I'm not saying like he was better than Tom Brady or none of that. Whatever. I'm just saying for this sake of situation, and we're talking about the NBA load management, and the point that I just brought up about Joel Embiid. Okay? So, again, like I said, he now has no... It's no way. He can't make it. I mean, he's going to miss, they said, 4 to 6 weeks. How many games is that? And arguably going into tonight's game and the games that he's already missed a couple games, he could arguably only have missed 4 games. 4 more games. And there's 30-something games left in the season. So, with even... Let's play with this a little bit. Let's say he didn't even get the serious injury like he has right now. All right? And we're still at this point where he's missed and he can only miss 4 games. All right? I said it was 30-some games left in the season. The way that he was playing in these 30-plus games, it's a very high chance that he would miss 4 more games. And I say that because of the rate that he was playing. At the level that he was playing at as a big. With already existing past injuries. Arguably, he would have still missed those 4. If that was the situation, like I said, without this serious injury. I feel like, and I hate to say it, but I still feel like he would have missed. Arguably those 4 games. He would have missed 4 games in that 30-something game. Like I said, and that's just because of how he was playing, how he was performing, and at the level that he was performing for the beginning of the season. So, again, I think to answer your question, Chris, my guy, I think the NBA should give it like maybe 5 more games. Because they have to tweak it, like I said, because guys that are in there 7th, 8th, 9th years and up that are still playing are going to have nagging injuries. And if they're still playing and if they're still part of their team's rotation, they're going to have nights when they're going to need rest. It's just the way it is. It's just the makeup of the NBA and the tough schedule that the NBA has. And I mean, it could be arguably, it could be in every sport too, but we're talking NBA with the load management. So again, like I said, I feel like I'm arguing and say that they could give him 5 more games. And I feel like they need to gauge it on the player's actual play while they were playing. And I'm sure people are going to say, oh, well, you can't do that. And I say, yeah. And I mean, it goes into it. And I'm not saying take away from the guys that play a full season. You still compare that full season to whatever Joel did. And arguably, with the rate that he was playing at, the level he was playing at this year, even him with missing games, he was still the odds-on favorite in my book to be the MVP. There were still people chasing him as far as players in contention for the MVP. So gauge it on what he did, and if that other person that's in contention played a full season, gauge their comparison with Joel's season, wherever it is, whatever many games he played, and then the whole season. If that other person plays the whole season. And if Joel Embiid still is ahead, or whoever is still ahead and it has some kind of injury like this and they missed this number of games, whatever. And I just keep saying Joel Embiid because that's where we started at. Still, keep him in the contention, but gauge it on what he did and what that other player did. And if Joel Embiid, with less games, still turns out statistically better or statistically far better, to play devil's advocate a little bit, statistically far better than that player that played the entire season, why would you not still give him an MVP award?
What the f***?
It's just a question. A thought that I have. I mean, it's something that I throw out there. And I'm sure that there are some people that will understand what I mean by that and where I'm going with that. It's like come on. If I play, if the season is 8 months, okay, and let's say I, in a total I play seven, so I miss about a month of the season, and my stats are still statistically better than someone who was in contention that played the entire season. Why do I get jeopardized because I legitimately had injuries? And some of the injuries might be a little rougher than the others, but they could have been serious. They could have been legit injuries. And I'm still, when I'm playing, I'm still cooking. I'm still putting in the work, and I'm blowing these other guys out the water. Why do I not be in contention now? And just because I'm injured and I miss some games. Going into a season, like I said, we know it's going to happen. It may not happen like this, but we know it's going to happen. Because of, like I said, the career, depending on the particular player and what they do for their team, how much they play for that team, how much they're counted on, depended on by that team, they are going to have nagging injuries as a professional athlete. It's going to happen. We know that going in. So why jeopardize a player who's doing the work, even if it's in less time? He's doing the work. And if he's doing the work, I feel like he should be rewarded even more because he did it in less time. And he still was better than this person that, or this other player that completed the entire season. Just my thoughts and my opinions and where I'm at with it. Other notable names who have missed significant games and who could have been arguably in contention for some of these other awards. We know Joel Embiid, 13, probably like now. He's probably up to like 15 or 16 now. Jimmy Butler was at 15. Tyrese Halliburton, 13. Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker, both at 9 apiece. So there we have it. And look at the names. Like, the only name that you could say would possibly be in like a second tier would be Tyrese Halliburton because he's still an emerging star. The other names, the other four, are stars in the league. I didn't mention Joel Embiid because that's what we've been talking about. Jimmy Butler, Donovan Mitchell, and Devin Booker. Stars in the league. So we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. Moving along, I saw something that I thought was a little interesting. Don't know how I feel about it. I'm going to talk about it in a second. But the two trades, one Sixers mock trade and a four-team deal. And then there was a trade. I have to give you an update. The Grizzlies trade Steven Adams to the Rockets in exchange for Victor Oladipo and 3 second-round picks. So the Sixers mock trade that I saw, four-team deal. It's the Warriors, the Mavericks, the Sixers, and the Blazers. All right, here's the breakdown. Here are the particulars. The Warriors would get DeAndre Ayton, Tim Hardaway Jr., Robert Covington, and Josh Green. The Mavericks would get Andrew Wiggins, Gary Payton III, and Dario Saric. Blazers would get Tobias Harris, Grant Williams, Jonathan Kuminga, a 25 first and a 28 first round draft pick. And the Sixers would get Chris Paul and Malcolm Brogdon. W-O-U-T-F. Now, people talked about the situation with Kyle Lowry. And some people were like, yeah, I like this trade. I would do this trade. Really? To bring in Chris Paul, who another one who's always gets hurt during the playoffs. Malcolm Brogdon, I could see that, maybe. But Malcolm Brogdon is good, hasn't won anything really in the NBA. You replace, in my opinion, you replace Malcolm Brogdon with Kyle Lowry. You have a little edge, like I said, for a number, a couple of reasons. Already a championship, battle-tested, playoff pedigree, played for the current coach and won his championship, his title under that current coach. It's She just got a little bit more for me, a little bit more gray area, a little bit more edge there with the Kyle Lowry situation as opposed to the Malcolm Brogdon and the Chris Paul situations here. But again, like I said, Sixers probably have to look elsewhere now. And the Kyle Lowry thing is wouldn't have to be a trade. The Kyle Lowry thing would be a signing, a recoup, you know, a signing off of waivers after a buyout as far as a free agency. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But like I said, the Sixers need to be in the works and working on getting a center in here so they can stem the tide while Joel Embiid is out. It has to be done. Like I said, it's no waiting, no ifs, ands, or buts. That's something that has to be done. And like I said, whether it happens at the trade deadline or if it happens like shortly after and we get a waiver. Like I said, and people are like, well, after the trade deadline. Well, the trade deadline is 3 days away. I know it's a game tonight for the Sixers, and I don't know how many games they got. Maybe one more before, maybe just this one tonight. Maybe one on this day of the trade deadline. Maybe two games tonight and another game before the trade deadline. So it's not that big of an issue. And when I say right shortly after the trade deadline. So there's not going to be that many games. But it has to happen soon. Because a lot more of these games down the stretch are going to mean more. As far as the staying in contention and staying where we would like to be as far as in the playoff standing. Well, again, like I said, we'll see what happens. We'll see how this thing plays out. We'll see what the Sixers do if they do anything at the trade deadline. We'll see what they do if they pick up anybody off the waiver wire or after buyouts. We'll see. Because there's some pieces that are needed. All right. Another thing that I saw. Again, like I said, want to talk real quick since I'm still talking NBA and I'm talking, I talk some trades here and I talk the trade deadline. And we all know NBA All-Star game. So kudos to Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid, both being named to the All-Star game. Joel Embiid as a starter and, of course, won't be playing due to injury. Tyrese Maxey has been named to the All-Star team as a reserve. The NBA has went back to the East versus West situation for the All-Star game this year, which I think is a great thing. I think the best All-Star games were when it was East versus West because now you have the bragging rights, you have that conference, and they took away what they instituted the last couple of years, that Elam ending that they got from the basketball tournament. They took that out as well because I thinking about this, I was at work watching some coworkers, and we're looking at clips. We're looking at film and old All-Star games, and we talked about the forget which one it was, forget the year, but the year that Iverson and Marbury led the East back in that All-Star game. We talked about the 87 or the 97 All-Star game. That was East versus West, and the names in that game, you can look that up on YouTube on your own, and that game went into overtime. How Philando Blackman had to step up to the free throw line and hit two free throws to send it into overtime. So that, to me, the East versus West, the way it has been, the way it always is always best for me. Because it gives the conference, either conference, bragging rights for the second half of the season. The schoolyard team having a captain and having them pick from the pool of starters and then from the pool of reserves was fun. It was a nice change. And I think it should have been in for maybe like a year or two. I think it went a little bit too long. I know like last year they actually did it live with the picks. They usually have a night where they did the draft, and then last year they did live draft. But I feel like this is the true essence of the NBA All-Star game, being East versus West. You're going to get some guys, depending on how the game plays out, that are going to get into a huddle or say to a guy on the court or somebody on the court, and it may not be their like immediate teammate from their exact team that they play, but just their teammate for that day. Like, look, dude, the score is, you know what I mean? We can go take this. So let's do what we do. Let's go take this. You know, it makes a little bit more camaraderie. It'll make it a little bit more fun, a little bit more challenging, because like I said, you might have a conference and you might have a player, individual player or players that look like, say, hey, let's go win this, man. Let's show them that we better than them. You know, we can hang, we can do what we do, and we can beat them. All right. So again, like I said, I think it's better. Like I said, I think that is what we call, what we could arguably say the true essence of the NBA All-Star game, which it has been. And I think that's the best way. You know, East versus West is what we've always known. And like I said, although the picking, having the captains and having them pick their teams was fun for a little bit, but I think they went with it too long and they also felt like it got kind of saturated. So now they went back to the East and West concept, which I think is the concept that they should have stayed with after maybe a year or two of the captains and having the picks. Writer I Am joined. Thanks for tuning in. Good morning on IG. Folks, like I said, you know where I am. Instagram at Sports Rap CEO. Facebook, Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page there. Another topic that I saw, as like I said, I wasn't really hard, but I had to bring some things into them to the fold. And I may bounce back to the NFL a little bit because I just glanced at my notes and I see an NFL article that I had that I may get back to in a second. But since we were talking NBA and we're talking All-Star Game, we talk some Sixers, I have a list. 10 greatest Sixers of all time. This is not my personal list. This is not a list that I compiled. It is a list that was compiled by some writers of a Sixers website, and I thought it would be fun to bring to the table. But what I also did was I added a couple names, as I called them, other names, and wanted to just throw some other names out, like I said, while we're discussing this and while I'm discussing this, and see what some people have to say about some of the other names that I have added on to this list. So first, I'm going to give you this list, and this list, they have it, and I'm going to give it to you in their order. I'm going to go 10 through 1. I always like to give it to you backwards so you don't get kind of lost as I go through. So I think your attention stays a little bit more when I go in reverse order because you don't know who's coming up next. At number 10, Maurice Cheeks. Solid choice. There was the starting point guard on the last winning championship team, 82-83. Very, very, very big part of that team as well. Very solid point guard, floor general, good defensive guy, and did his job. You know, when he needed to knock down open shots, he knocked down open shots and got guys the ball where they needed the ball, was comfortable with that, and ran the team the way a basketball team should be run. Number 9, Dolph Schayes. Number 8, Billy Cunningham. Good player. Very good player for the Sixers. Ultimately was a coach. Was the coach on that championship team. Hal Greer. Another good one for the Sixers. Local guy. Number 6, round mound of rebounds, Charles Barkley. Came in under the doctor. Established himself as a star in the NBA here with the Sixers before he was traded to Phoenix. Charles Barkley. And number 5, Joel Embiid. What more do I have to say? Number 4, Moses Malone. Got us to the promised land. 4-5-4. He got us there. All right. Wilt Chamberlain. We all know Wilt's history. City of Philadelphia kid. Superior athlete at his size. But again, like I said, what else do I need to say? We know his story. At number 2, Bubba Chuck, AI, Allen Iverson. We know what he did for the Sixers. We know what he did for the city. We know what he did for the league. arguably, again, his best years were in the Philadelphia 76ers uniform. And at number one, topping off the list here, the Dr. Julius Erving. Arguably changed, possibly for the second time, the landscape of the franchise. Before, like right after Wilt, and then right before AI. Arguably, I said, you know, because I know people will argue. And then some other names that I added in. One name that I feel the organization has done wrong. He also felt that way, so he has soured from the organization. The Boston Strangler, Andrew Toney. I don't understand why Andrew Toney's not on this list, but then again, I do understand it being Philadelphia native, whatever. Bobby Jones. I added Bobby in because he was the sixth man. He was another huge part of our championship, our last winning championship team. Some other names that some of my listeners and followers may not know. George McGinnis. World Be Free. Henry Bibby. And more so the first two names I gave you, Bobby Jones and Andrew Toney, will probably have bigger arguments of getting possibly moved into onto the list, into the top 10. The other three, maybe not so much, because a lot of people that, like I said, are tuned in and listening may not fully know about those guys, but I do. But those were just like names that I popped off the top of my head real quick when I saw the list and I saw the names, and I really thought about names that could have been added on that weren't added on. So that, you know, is that. Again, like I said, those lists are always, in my opinion, in a lot of ways skewed, because we don't know who all the people are who participated in that list. If it's one person, if it's more than one person, we never know how those lists play out. All right. So moving along, and like I said, I probably will go back. I want to get back to the NFL real quick. And again, you know, you still got time, folks. I'm here for a little bit. If you have anything, comments, you want to throw me a question, anything that we've gone over that I've already discussed, anything you want to see me discuss in the next hour or so, please do not be afraid to chime in and give me what you can give me or what you would like to give me. So we talked about the NFL and we talked about some other things. And we talked about the NBA and the load management and how that's going to jeopardize players for winning awards. So for the longest time, myself included, and a lot of my friends, we have soured away from the Pro Bowl. I've been off of the Pro Bowl going all the way back to when they switched it to the week before the Super Bowl. I thought that was insane, because you're going to get people or players who could have possibly been voted in as Pro Bowlers who might be playing in the Super Bowl the following week who are going to decline. Now they have so much hoopla around the Pro Bowl. They have all these different competitions, the tug of war and dodgeball and flag football and all this other stuff. The competitions, as far as like the individual skills competitions, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the All-Star game. Again, I'm not okay with it being the week before the Super Bowl. It needs to be after the Super Bowl. It needs to be, in my opinion, back in Hawaii, where it's always been, or where it has been for a long time. Again, the extra stuff, like I was starting to say, the dodgeball, the tug of war, all these other extra things that have been put in should not be in play. And again, it needs to be back to what it was as far as the week after the Super Bowl, not the week before. Of course, some players might be injured and whatnot, and I'm cool with you being injured and not playing. But then you have players that just won't go because they're going to play in the Super Bowl. And why would I jeopardize playing in some pickup football where you get where you seem to get hurt more in games of that nature than you do in real life games when I'm playing for the biggest game arguably of my career the next week? I'm not playing in the Pro Bowl. I'm not doing anything in the Pro Bowl. But it needs to be changed back, I feel like, to what it was and how it is and how it was back then. Folks, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm expecting some people in today, so I'm going to take a quick break, get ready for them. I will be back, and again, I will let you all know when I'm back. So stay tuned. Thanks to everybody that tuned in this morning. I'm going to take a quick break, but I'll be right back. We're going to talk Eagles mock draft. We're going to talk some more sports and possibly some other stuff on the back end. So again, thanks for tuning in, everybody, to Sports Rap Podcast right here on Heat 100 Radio. Again, Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page on Facebook, at Sports Rap CEO on Instagram. I'll be back with y'all in just a few minutes. So sit tight. Stay tuned, y'all. What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? I'm back. Facebook, Sports Rap Podcast LLC is the group page where I'm located. Also simultaneous on Instagram, if you can't get on Facebook, or if you're not on Facebook, at Sports Rap CEO. So, left y'all off with some stuff, man. I had talked a lot this morning. Talked about a lot of good things this morning. I'm glad, heck, thankful for everybody that tuned in earlier. Hope some of y'all come back. My guy, Coach Rich, thank you for tuning in, as always. Appreciate the support, as always, as well. If you folks need some tennis lessons, make sure y'all hit up at LowellRich2 on Instagram. He can get y'all ready for the tennis lessons and get y'all in shape and figured out what y'all need to do, what y'all need to work on and whatever, whatever, and all that good stuff there. So, got a couple more things I wanted to talk to you guys about. As I was on break, I was, you know, doing what I do, perusing through the interweb, as some people like to call it. I saw a thing, a couple things. Saw a Sixers thing, and I saw an Eagles thing real quick. So the Sixers thing real quick says that the Sixers are hoping and relying on the doctors who have been charged with fixing our MVP, hoping to just have him miss out on a couple of months. Hello, caller. How may I help you?
This caller is Robert Scales from Uptown.
Hey, Robert Scales. What's going on?
What's going on?
Ain't nothing. Gainers? What's happening? What's happening?
What's going on?
Not much.
What you want to talk about?
I'm chilling, man. Whatever y'all got, whatever you want to bring to the table. It's all about the fans today. You know, I do this stuff every week. So whatever you got for me.
I want to talk about North Carolina versus Duke, but that's not really...
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, it's not what it used to be.
That's what I was gonna say.
Right now, it's just like, it's not even like it's Duke UNLV. It's kind of like it's, I mean, UNLV UNC. It's kind of like, I don't even know. It's kind of like it's kind of like a Big Five game, like a Temple Penn game or something like that. Now, it's kind of how it feels. And no disrespect to the Big Five, but it just doesn't feel.
They messed everything up, like how the Big East, like you missed the Georgetown, St. John's, and the Syracuse matchups.
Right, right,
and
right.
The money really didn't messed everything up with this realignment of conferences.
Absolutely, absolutely. The realignment of conferences, and then the transfer portal and all that other good stuff, it has really put a damper on the situation. I mean, you mean, because when you really think about it, arguably, this is the time of the year when we're supposed to be getting hype.
Right.
Stretch run in NCAA basketball, looking at the tournament coming up. You know, conference tournaments and everything. That's what we're supposed to be looking at. We're supposed to be getting hype about that. But it's not even a lot of hype about that right now.
College,
so that's really weird.
My favorite sport, and I cannot get in it. With these Butler Creighton matchups and
right,
you know, we need to go back to get these conferences back to where they used to be.
Yeah, it's so many strange. Like in the scores I gave earlier, what did I do with that paperwork? Like, I'm giving scores of college basketball. And like you said, you got Creighton's in there and teams that teams that haven't been prominent that long or haven't been prominent for a long time that are being talked about now. And it's just real crazy. It's real crazy. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But
even so, with the Big Five, like, you can't even get into Philly college basketball.
Like, the Big Five used to be decent local basketball. You don't even hear people talk about the Big Five anymore like they used to. It's like the programs are not even what they used to be. You know, you used to always look forward to a Villanova Temple game, a Temple Penn game, a Villanova Penn game, just any game basically in the Palestra for that matter. But now it's like, all right, Temple playing Penn, okay. Temple should win that. We'll see what happens, you know. And then it's like you said, with the change in regime at Villanova, they not getting the recruiting that they used to get with Jay. So it's like Villanova coming off of, 4 years ago being talked about just about every day, are pretty much non-existent now.
I don't even know who the coach of Temple is now.
Right. Exactly. Like, you had Aaron McKee.
Three people on the Temple team. And that's right. Our local team.
It's a local team, right. Right. You can't name three people on it. You can't. It's crazy.
I knew everybody from Drexel to Penn.
You don't know them now. Yeah, you don't know any of them now. That's for sure.
Well, you enjoy your day, my man, and I appreciate talking to you.
All right, thanks, man, for bringing that to the table. Good looking, Rob.
Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. All right, folks, so that was one caller, and that was a good topic. That was a good bring in there, Robert Scales. Robert Scales is a guy I know. I've known this dude since high school, so we are really good friends. Another guy that's like a friend brother, brother friend. And that was great. We just reminisced a little bit. We briefly spoke about Big Five basketball, local Big Five basketball. If anybody's from the city, you know about that. And we also talked about the realignment of the conferences in NCAA men's basketball. And, you know, we both are North Carolina fans. We have some friends that are Duke fans. So we go back and forth with each other and all of that as far as the fans and, you know, breaking each other's you-know-whats, as we like to call it. But for some reason, like I mentioned, in that conversation, this is the time of year, and it just dawned on me, like, this is the time of year when we're starting to get excited about March Madness, about the tournament coming up. And it's not that situation right now. It's not the same situation. Like I said, he doesn't even know who the head coach of Temple basketball is or who any of the players are. And like I said, you would always want to get to a game at the Palestra just because it was the Palestra and you knew it was a Big Five team. That's not the case anymore. The realignment of conferences and the money has really, really put a damper on some things there. So with that being said, folks, you know, great Monday. Another great show. Thanks for everybody that chimed in with their content. Thanks to Rob for calling in, being an avid listener and avid supporter of the podcast. Going to close out here today. Listen, I thank everybody that tuned in. You know where to find me, like I said, at SportsRap CEO on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. Every now and then on Twitter, but more so Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. Facebook, SportsRap Podcast LLC is the group page over there. Webpage, SportsRapRadio.com. You know the YouTube, SportsRap TV, you know what to do. Get over there, subscribe to the channel. Like the videos that you like. Hit the thumbs up on those and then hit that bell so you'll know when new content is uploaded. Also, audio, iHeart, Anchor, Spreaker, Apple, Google, and most of your podcast outlets. Folks, not too bad of a day today. The sun is out. Enjoy some of it if you can. Get out and enjoy this Monday. Kicking off the first Monday of February 2024, the first Monday of Black History Month. Enjoy your day. Be great on purpose. Talk to y'all all week on social media. Right back here next Monday. Peace.